Hi, Steve Sadak here from the podcast you're listening to. Have you ever wanted to see We Hate Movies live? Well, if you live in Atlanta, Houston, or Austin, Texas, this spring you can. That's right. This spring, we are hitting the road and going a bit south to bring you folks comedy that only jaded New Yorkers could come up with. First up, on April the 25th, we are going to the City Winery in Atlanta to talk about Gamer. That's that Gerard Butler movie where a little kid gets to control him through his television or something. Expect a lot of axe in this one. Then, after a short break, we're going to be doing a two-night dance in Texas. On May 14th, we'll be at the Houston Improv talking about a Houston classic, RoboCop 2. That is, to date, the only RoboCop sequel Peter Weller could get out of bed for. It's also got a little kid gangster, a Frank Miller script credit, and a drug called Nuke. You gotta come out and see that live. Then, the very next night, it's gonna be a dark night as we stroll into Cap
City
Comedy Club in Austin, Texas to do a live We Love Movies episode on From Dusk Till Dawn. Bank robbers versus vampires, Harvey Keitel versus a Southern accent, and Salma Hayek's little toes versus Quentin Tarantino's wet mouth. It's going to be a slobber knocker, and it's all going to be live on stage. You definitely don't want to miss this Texas two-step, so definitely come out for both shows. Now, all ticketing info is at whmpodcast.com/tour, so go there right now to get your tickets. Right now, before it's too late. WHMpodcast.com/tour right now for our spring tour that kicks ass.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. I'm Andrew Jupin, and this is the show for Monday, March the 18th. Happy recovering from St. Patrick's Day. If you were getting nuts this weekend, hope you're not feeling it today. But we got a lot to get to today, going to bring in my buds here. First up, you know him, you love him. He was at a museum yesterday, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Well, I was at a museum yesterday, and I'd like everybody to know it. It's a fun shirt. I liked it. Oh, yeah, it was at the Biennial yesterday. Really cool. Really fun stuff.
Biennial's always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Someone who, I don't know if he's ever been to a museum in his life. No, that's not true. Eric Siska.
Yeah, well, once. That one time they took me to the big city, the Monta. Put me on the back of the carriage and we went in. Oh my God. Yeah. Biennial, huh?
Yeah.
They do paintings and sculptures.
Yes, it is. It's kind of
both
it's
ways. Everything. Yeah.
I always feel weird about the video installation because almost no one, the video installation is usually like a kind of a documentary that's running and yeah. You kind of just walk in and you walk out. Like no one stays for the whole thing. Like
no.
it's not timed. It's not like, guys, the new one's starting. So it's very bizarre how those work. I mean, some of them are like a dude like carrying, this was kind of cool, and a guy like carrying a long sheet up like rock stairs into a waterfall. That's like fine. Like, you know what I mean? But
sure.
Others
oh,
are
yeah.
Like, this genocide that's going on. I'm like, well, I don't know what genocide this is, baby. I just showed up.
They got another genocide video thing going this year. They had that like last year, I think. Yeah,
there's always a lot of genocide.
So hard to keep track of all the genocides.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it's a different genocide altogether. Don't worry about it. And finally, you know him, you love him. He's the man who will push his car needle well below empty, Mr. Chris Cabin.
Of course, I never particularly liked Chad Lowe. I never liked the idea that you would just coast off your brother's fame. I always found that so disgusting that he would do that to Rob, a friend of mine who I love very much. He has done some great work out there and is not creepy at all. I must underline that. But Chad Lowe and his whole thing about being in bad horror movies and bad rom-coms and looking not at all like his handsome brother really, really pissed me off at the end. Oh, wow. The end.
Oh, wow. Chris. Wow, the end. The wow. We finally got to the end of one of them. That's nice incredible.
Now, Chris, Do you need to screen cap that to send that to your accountant so that you can put that book off your taxes? Does that need to happen?
That one's already been written off, Steven.
Oh, that's nice.
Many, many years.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, see, visual evidence, write off.
Chris, you've been mentioning Chad Lowe quite often lately.
Yes, I have been.
Have you been going through the filmography, the oeuvre?
I forget what name of it. It was, it just came on and I was 15 minutes into it. I'll look it up. It seems to be the one that everybody knows him for. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's just a TV guy, right? Well, he was
getting into softcore? Was that him?
Oh, I hope so.
Well, his brother got into fucking non-consentcore.
No. I don't want to look through that video library. Hey, big ups to everybody joining us in the chat today. Of course, we got Fortune's Daughter, Shoddy Content. I like that. Asian Badger, Will Plock, Carlisle Commons, Bucyrus. Let's see, we got someone here. Vicky.
Yes, yeah, birthday.
They're making it live. Happy birthday, Vicky. Look at that. See, I got you, Steve. Don't worry about it. I saw it too.
Happy birthday.
Woo! Look at that.
Bucyrus
87.
My
Nick
favorite.
B. Yay, LA. Oh, yeah. Welcome. Oh. And by the way, if you're just getting here, folks, be sure before we go any further, like and subscribe to this channel. Like this video, subscribe to this channel, hit them alerts you want to know when we are going live or adding additional content to this lovely, lovely YouTube channel.
Oh, and also a PayPal me $6.
There you go.
By the way, it looks like Chad Lowe was in Unfaithful 2002.
He was, wow. The one I'm thinking of is Highway to Hell. Which is why, if anybody
Gilbert movie,
I think. Let me.
Gilbert plays Hitler.
Hitler.
We actually talked to Gilbert Gottfried about that in our long ago interview with Gilbert Gottfried. Go look that up, folks. It was a fun convo.
Crazy movie, and I had gone on a little bit of a Chad Lowe jag there because I'd also watched Toby Hooper did a TV movie with him called The Apartment Complex that I had recently watched. Is horrible. But I've had him on the mind, Eric.
Oh, yes. Did you watch Pretty Little Liars, 81 episodes with Chad Lowe?
Ooh, I did not. I missed that one.
I'm going to guess Chad Lowe's like a parent who's kind of like on the periphery. If I'm remembering what that show's kind of about in general.
Or little or lying.
He might be one. I bet he's a liar, Eric. He sounds like a liar of those three.
That's Hollywood for you. They're all liars.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so speaking of Hollywood, we got some birthdays today. First up, remembering him on what would have been his 98th birthday, Mr. Peter Graves, of course, from Airplane and Mission Impossible.
And Happy Biography. Birthday.
Yes.
He was the voice of Biography.
Really?
Yeah.
Rest of these folks are still kicking. Brad Dourif turned 74. There's a Brad Dourif picture from Child's Play where he looks like Tommy Wiseau. Mm-hmm. Fucking great.
Handsome.
Let's see. Vanessa Williams turns 61. One of the best to ever do it. Queen Latifah turns 54. Someone who's also in the entertainment industry, Dane Cook, turns 53.
And his girlfriend just turned 19.
Yay. Oh, wow.
Steve stole my joke when I was about to say, and coming in next, she's about 20 years too young on her 35th birthday, Lily Collins. Happy birthday to Lily Collins as well. Yes, indeed. Dane Cook likes him young. Likes him legal, but likes him young.
Come on, guys. But he's so funny. You know what? Find the balance here, all right? Talent, you got to look at talent. And that talent is just indescribable.
Why would you put Vanessa Williams in the middle when you should save the best for last?
Ooh, excellent. You're totally right. Usually I just go in descending age order, but I should have changed it up for that, Steve. Shit, guys, we got a lot to get to today. Kind of some surprises, I should say, around the box office. But let's start there, shall we? We'll take a look at the numbers. This is highest gross. Now, I got to tell you, City of Boston really let down the box office this week. We'll get to that in a second. First up at five, Cabrini. I know everybody wanted to know what was happening with Cabrini, and I'll tell you what. An almost Quantum Mania-esque fall of 61% for last week. So this will unfortunately not be the next Jim Caviezel Angel Studios hit.
Well, I think everyone that that thought that they were getting pasta finally realized that it was a movie, and they're like, "Oh, yeah. No, I don't want the Cabrini then. Don't give me the Cabrini."
I thought it was strange I had to pick up this pasta at the movie theater. What was I thinking?
Oh, I guess we're gonna be denied a Nun biopic expanded universe type of thing. That's too
bad. Well, I mean, the Nun stuff is out of control though, dude. We got this. We got that. The Sidney Sweeney movie's coming out Friday.
What is that? What is that?
Immaculately conceived, but it might be by the devil.
What?
I saw somebody said we had the Verhoeven movie already a few years ago, Benedetta. It was basically, this I think is, if this catches on, calling this movie Benedetta Light, that might be a problem for it.
Benedetta rocks, dude.
It's a great movie. No. But apparently this is sort of like nunsploitation without the sex part of it.
Those two Nun movies came out and they're boring as shit and they're about nuns. So like, I guess it is a thing now. Just like, scary nuns.
St. Maud also by the great Rose Glass.
That's a good movie. I actually just, because apropos of us talking about Love Lies Bleeding last week for a little bit, I just went and watched St. Maud. Fucking great movie.
Really
had a good time with it. I'm trying to find, there we go. Okay. One of my, guys, I was about to be a huge fucking emergency. One of my pieces of poster art didn't upload.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
I was going to have to throw the stream in the garbage.
I was going to Bud Dwyer if that happened.
That will eventually happen to you, dude.
I would be remembered forever.
You would have to, you would have to buy a gun first. That's, you know, steps here.
I guess this weekend I'll go shopping.
Okay. You might have to buy a gun if in your house is a haunted teddy bear, imaginary, in at number 4. You know, whatever. It lost about 45%.
I didn't see it. Would bullets stop this creature, though?
No, it would not.
It would not. Okay.
Oh, no, it would not. I can say.
He's a psychopathic imaginary teddy bear, but so what?
The opinion of many people in this movie.
Another $5.3 million with $11 million budget. This will around the corner probably next week. It'll be totally fine, as you know, most horror is. Speaking of horror, though, in at number 3, Mark Wahlberg's back in theaters with Arthur the King, and unfortunately, the Catholics did not show up for this one. Yeah. $7.5 million for this guy.
Cabrini was like taking the fuel out of the tank, man.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that's right. Right there.
I only go to so many movies on the weekend, I guess.
What the fuck's going on with Cabrini? She's taking all my shit.
Fucking nun. That fucking nun, bro. Can you believe it?
I've been praying my ass off, and then this nun just shows up out of nowhere, steals from my dog movie.
So what the fuck's the point of staying prayed up if I ain't going to be number one at the box office?
Is the dog religious in the movie?
I don't think so.
He's a like, special dog. I don't know. I've seen that trailer a bunch, and it's like, what are we doing to that dog? Is that dog going to make it? I don't think I can handle it if it doesn't.
That's why a great resource, dude, because I'm right there with you. DoesTheDogDie.com.
Got it.
It's really? A real website. Yes. And you're okay watching Arthur the King if you want to get silly with it later. The dog is okay. Apparently, this leans way more like feel good, family friendly. Yeah. Like, oh, it's him and the dog in this like amazing race type thing or whatever.
I wanted the dog to die.
Well, you got to go see one of those Dog's Purpose movies then, Eric, because dog's purpose is to die.
Right. That
is
they throw him in the lake or something.
Just
ask Dennis Quaid. Dogs are for drowning. Praise Jesus. Dennis Quaid. Couple of things about this, though. So this movie, Mark Wahlberg back in theaters after 4 of his last 7 movies went to streaming. So of his last 7 movies, not counting this one, in theaters was Joe Bell, Uncharted, and Father Stew. Mm-hmm. And then on the streaming side, I mean, these movies, man, Infinite, which we did an episode on. Something called Me Time.
Nope.
Yes, with Kevin Hart.
I'm jerking off.
Me Time was the Kevin Hart one you're saying. Yep. I remember vaguely that coming out. Family Plan, previous episode, and Spencer Confidential, all streaming. So this was Mark's return to theaters, and not too great. This was even below the predicted tracking, which brings me to our patron poll from this weekend.
Jesus.
Congratulations to everyone who was correct, saying that underperforming this movie, $10 million or under. I don't know what 11% of you were thinking, over $15 million. I don't know about that.
You never know with the Christians, though. It's a decent gamble.
That's true. We have listeners in Boston, too. I do know that. the thing with this one is it does feel, I haven't seen it yet. Cameron didn't want to go to the movies this week. This feels like something they shot like years ago.
He
doesn't even look like he looks
so
now.
You're suggesting perhaps the dog has died of natural causes.
I do. That was my point. I was going to get to that point eventually, but yes.
I wish my co-star Scruffles could be on the red carpet with me, but this movie was shot 14 years ago.
Why is everybody talking about that bullshit Messi? Why ain't they talking about Leonard here, who did the real work?
That's true. Yeah, this dog, I guarantee you, in this Wahlberg movie is no Messi. That's for sure.
Bullshit. Can you fake throw up? Huh, Leonard? Can you do that? Tell me.
I can, bro. Anyway, in it too, Dune 2 still rocking and rolling, another $29.1 million in its third week. Love to see it happening. This now, let's see, what were we looking at here? $104 million of this movie's gross is exclusively IMAX tickets. That's bonkers. And I was looking because I'm getting that itch. I'm like, was he doing 70 millimeter IMAX again? So I was looking at showtimes and at Lincoln Square with the IMAX 70 millimeter, it's like Oppie level showtimes. Like shit is just sold out all throughout the day for like the entire week.
It's gotta really go to crazy. That Kips Bay, dude. It's a secret movie theater.
Make more IMAX screens. Yes. Do the full things, right? There's demand for it, but you can't see it.
No, that's why I go to the Lincoln Square one also, because it's the only like legitimate IMAX. Other ones are like big. They got the IMAX logo on it, but it's not the same exact auditorium.
No, it's not at all. And like that's why that place is always going to be sold out. And like there's only five of those things across the country. There's so very few of those things.
Shit about Kips Bay?
Yes, Steve. As you were last week also. It's a terrible movie theater.
It's a fine theater.
I actually like the Kips Bay theater. I had no idea it had an IMAX or IMAX screen.
Yeah, it's a faux IMAX, but it's a big screen. It's a
very big screen.
It's a big screen. I mean, that's where we all got wasted and watched Friday the 13th Part 9. I fell asleep in the wrong chair. So no surprises here, of course. Number one, Kung Fu Panda 4, still rocking and rolling. Another astounding $30 million.
Yep. This is going to be in the top 10 of the box office for the remainder of the year, guaranteed.
He does believe that.
Have you become a big fan since we...
know nothing about it.
Okay.
people like it, I guess. This movie, this one, $85 million budget, half the budget of the previous installments, which again brings me back. I will never stop thinking about Elemental and the money wasted on that movie. And I know delays, strikes, whatever. But fuck, man, $200 million versus 38? Or just 85, excuse me. I mean, even still, good Lord.
How much did Food Fight cost?
You had to pay people to give you the thing to watch it.
God.
Or they had to pay you to watch it, rather.
We need
honestly, what do you think? Like, let's be real. That animation, the year it was made, what do you think Food Fight actually cost?
A million. Now,
Steve's got me curious.
With the cast, maybe, just hiring people.
But they had to double it because, remember, they lost all the animation. Yep. They had to do it all over again.
Oh, right. Someone threw out the hard
drive. Yeah.
It probably looked worse. The original probably looked worse.
Can you imagine like someone having to go to like, I don't know, whoever the fuck, John Lasseter, and be like, I lost all of WALL-E. The hard drive got put in the garbage. The garbage truck already came. WALL-E is gone. We have to do WALL-E over again.
Good. That's where it belongs. Get it in that garbage truck.
What? Get out of town. You don't like WALL-E?
It's fine. I was just saying something. Really.
How do you train your dragon? People are doing WALL-E again this summer. I saw a trailer for a new robot animated movie, and I was like, we can't be doing it.
By the way, guys, Wikipedia has the Food Fight budget at between $45 and $65 million.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's impossible.
Again, they had to do it twice. They had to do the animation twice.
Yeah, I kind of hope
those jerk-offs getting $40 million? Come on.
The people are just pocketing shit, I think, you know?
We got to start out like, okay, like someone get a note out to Christopher Lloyd. How much did you get paid to play that like cartoon Nazi thing in Food Fight? What was going on?
Guys, I think we can make a bunch of money here by making like a fake animated movie, like a really low rent animated movie like this. And then you just get Chris Kattan to say one line. The rest of it can be us.
He's top of the poster then. Chris Kattan.
Yes. And we'll rake it in. We'll rake it in. Even if it's not successful, we'll still have made tons of money because we'll just, you know, we'll just say, yeah, we need all that money.
Right. real quick, didn't make the top five, but was damn close. So elsewhere around the box office, Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah.
Came in at number six in week two. It expanded to from five screens to 1,362 screens. So 2.5 mil. Not terrible, not great. But Eric and Steve, you saw it over the weekend.
Yes.
Follow up thoughts.
Go see it, people. It was really, really good.
I think, yeah, it's great. It's got like a real 90s noir vibe to it that I really enjoy, but also like the without spoiling anything, the sort of dreamy elements that sort of merge in towards the middle and the end of that movie there are really impactful and really cool. And I think it's really like it elevates, like it's a great movie. And then like that stuff starts happening. Like, oh, wow, this is an awesome, awesome movie. And I think Katie, it's a star-making performance by Katie O'Brien. She's amazing in the movie, as is Kay Stew. Fantastic. Finally, Kristen Stewart with the motivation to be incredibly horny makes so much sense for like her mannerisms and her open mouth for the most part. It's like, she's just horny. Oh, okay.
Which was like,
that
also
makes sense.
She was great in Crimes of the Future also because she was playing a horny character.
Exactly. And
I love her. I love Katie O'Brien. I think you're exactly right on what you said about this film.
A friend of mine who works for A24, I sent her a note and I was like, hey, Love Lies Bleeding, fucking great, you know. Everybody was great in it. I made some comment about like Ed Harris and the Scullet.
Mm-hmm.
She gets me back and she's like, Ed Harris in that movie looks exactly like Kay Stew's actual father. And she sent me a fucking like paparazzi photo of them just like walking somewhere. He's got a hat on in the photo I saw, so I don't know if it's a Scullet, but it's like the long blonde hair. He's just like a skinny dude. Doesn't look like an evil man or anything.
No,
like
sure.
That. Like, the do looks exact. It's fucking weird.
The hookup you have, you're getting daddy pics. You're not telling us.
it was a public daddy pic, dude. That wasn't
daddy out in public.
Yeah, you can go find Mark
from the archives.
I took my daddy out in public.
That would be a fun like weirdo best supporting nom for him if he just finds, because he's so good in that movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When things get tits up and he starts smashing up his house. I won't say what he does, but I was like, yeah, do it.
Yep.
What he's I
love that. Yeah.
Now I'm just obsessed with finding this fucking photo.
You're trying to find the daddy pic?
I'm trying to find the daddy pic.
You're gonna display the daddy for all the fine folks here on YouTube.
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
I'll keep vamping until you find that. So we're coming up soon on the program. Daddies.
Daddies. Here, it's coming in hot. Everybody's talking about the Scullet, by the way, but what did you guys think of Dave Franco's Rat Tail?
It was great. I was afraid.
It was nasty.
I think that movie, because Kristen Stewart is so cool looking, I think the mullet's coming back in a big way. I think this movie might tip the mullet back.
I think like movies based set in 89 or something are coming back. Like Bones and All, I think, was also the same era.
You're right. Cool. All right, here we go. I got it. You guys ready for this?
Dad incoming.
This is Kay Stew and her old man. Look at that guy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
See?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Sadly, the Ed Harris villain is dressed so much better than that dude. Like, you know, yes,
that is. You want to go minimal? You want to go with less stuff there? Yeah, that's too much you got on there, brother.
So we're getting a head start on Father's Day. If everyone in the chat could send in pictures of their daddies,
daddy pictures. Yeah,
it's a daddy show.
It's a daddy show. It sure is. Mm-hmm. So that's the box office. We'll see what happens this week because you know it. Ghostbusters Frozen Dinner's coming out.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, 22nd, man.
It looks terrible. It looks sad.
It certainly does. I have not seen what the forecasts are for it yet, but based off of that trailer, man, it just looks like, again, not for the four people on this broadcast, at least.
When people kept saying, oh, Frozen Empire's coming, I'm like, that's a Jurassic World thing or something?
It's Ilsa and the other girl from Frozen, and they go to Jurassic World.
I love that.
And they have to use their ice magic against dinosaurs.
That'd be cool.
I know this because, like, just people that I know, like, off of my, like, that I went to high school with, and whatever, like, a real ghost heads, people are my age, and, like, I never like had like hero worship for the Ghostbusters. Do you know what I mean? Like it was a fun and funny movie, and the cartoons were fun and funny, and it was like, you know, cool to watch and like blah blah blah. But like they're like, oh man, four of the best to ever do it, Spangler. You know what I mean? Like that kind of hero shit. I've never understood.
Like so, not like the movie, but like the characters.
Yes,
the characters on an Indiana Jones esque pedestal. You're saying?
Exactly.
Like in the pantheon of great movie heroes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard.
It's a comedy. It's like Caddyshack with ghosts.
It's a fucking comedy.
Yeah.
That's really weird, Steve, man. This is a great point, though.
We need to have like a very self-serious Caddyshack revival.
Yes.
Like we get like a ghost CGI of Rodney to be in it.
Yeah. And it's like the son of Chevy Chase. Presume they'll kill that character.
And it's like, oh my God, you're inheriting the old golf course. Oh my God, let's dust it off. Oh,
dude, ooh, yeah, it's like
orchestra swells.
All right.
Yep. Leaves falling. Leaves falling. Leaves falling on the grass, and then the camera kind of turns, and it's Bushwood.
Exactly.
You get Anthony Hopkins.
The grandeur.
You get Anthony Hopkins to play Ted Knight's grandson.
Yes.
Or nephew, whatever the guy was.
In the trailer, you definitely need the bronze statue of Ted Knight, though.
Yes.
Imperious.
Yeah, very much.
And a car's got to crash into it, and the head falls off, and it's... is fake sucking someone's dick.
You're missing that. That's Delholm Elliot you're mixing that up with.
Oh, that's right. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You're right.
Once you get the release date, once you get the black, you will get a creepy voice saying, well, we're waiting.
Yes.
You might as well make this movie. You might as well make it.
Because there's really, I mean, that's what you think about Caddyshack, just like Ghostbusters. It's all about the family we make along the way.
True. Yeah.
We love talking about found families now and made families. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, it's just the family we made along the way.
Sure.
What dog shit. What utter dog. I'm sorry. What utter dog shit.
It's okay to like a movie. If that's your thing, it's totally fine. I mean, God knows I like garbage.
Very true. So like I said, all we know about Frozen Empire is from the trailer. And you learn a lot from trailers, folks. So who knows? But speaking of which, we got one coming up that I'm feeling a little nervous about. I don't know what's going on here because this one is a movie. It's a remake of a movie we all enjoy. So I don't know, but let's take a look. This is trailer segment. Here it is, folks. The Crow.
So it's a remake. It's not just because I mean, I know The Crow can be anybody, but this is Eric Draven again we're doing.
He is playing Eric Draven. Yeah. So it's like, you know what I mean?
You want a new guy?
Yeah, why not? You just
don't want Eric to be cool anymore. I see what this is.
I don't know. It's, I've only seen screen caps. Is anyone cool directing this? I have not really even dug in here.
I have no idea, but Danny Houston's in it, so you know it's a movie, I guess.
You know somebody passed.
Yeah. It was hopping around for a while. I forgot who actually got it.
Let's see. Rupert Sanders. That's a fake name. That's an alias of some kind.
Is that the
Snow White and the Huntsman?
Ghost
in the Shell.
Speaking of Case 2.
Exactly. He broke up that... She cheated on Robert Pattinson like a dog.
Indeed, yes.
Oh, what, on Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yes.
With Rupert Sanders.
Yes.
Yeah, while they were doing it together, and that was where fucking Donald Trump's like a dog thing came from. It was from
he got really offended by that, and he was just like Robert Pattinson could do so much better than that little piece of trash.
It's so cool that he was invested in that.
I know.
Oh yeah. Celebrity gossip, man. That was what he should have been. That's what he should have done.
Something tells me, I don't know. Something tells me that guy's got the wrong things on his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. You might be right.
All right. So this is the new one. This is Bill Skarsgård is now playing Eric Draven and FKA Twigs. That is, I guess, the lady friend, the girlfriend that also gets killed. And I'm going to guess Danny Houston's the villain.
One of them, at least. Yes, I would think so.
But, man, do you think someone's going to say anything about Devil's Night being their new favorite holiday?
They fucking better.
All right, so folks at home, in the episode description here, we do have a link to this Crow trailer here. This is out from Lionsgate Films. Lionsgate having a big year, but I'll say they have a big slate of movies this year, but it's coming out wide on June the 7th, so not too much longer to wait until this reboot hits. All right, you guys ready over there?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. The continuing, or I guess rebooted, adventures of Eric Draven the Crow in 3, 2, 1, go.
That's a crow. What's the first thing you liked
about me? He's got like Joker-esque tattoos in this movie.
Yeah, and what is the Squid Game they're in here?
Yeah. I'm going to guess they're both like, you know, from prison, maybe.
Part of the Suicide Squad, yeah.
Yep.
Looks like we could be getting a little sexy here. That's something.
Yeah.
Never seen any of it. Oh, more supernatural powers, eh?
Up. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it Eric and Shelley in the original movie? Was she Shelley?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Eric, it sounded familiar.
Oh man, suffocating this time, huh?
Wow.
I'm glad I get to see this movie. I don't even have to watch a movie. I can see.
This is the whole thing, right?
Yeah. There we go. Oh, they're dead already? Okay. Now he's coming back.
Not to be a total jerk, but how many times did the weapons master check the guns every time that they were using a pistol?
You know what? Listen, I'm sure, dude, it was disgust.
It's just like 4 to 5.
It's like, all right, everybody, we're all fucking thinking it. Right? You know? What is this song, Chris?
I don't know. And why
Ozzy
is it?
Osbourne.
Oh, there he goes.
But he's Ozzy?
Yeah, that's Ozzy.
It's okay. Terrible. Retire.
I'm not even sure if it's a cover. It sounds like it's the song, but remixed with big fucking Phil Collins drums over it.
Pardon me, where is the white makeup, ladies and gentlemen? What the fuck
it's
are you doing?
It's
here?
Just the tattoos
ooh,
do it.
Ooh, headshot. Like
that was pretty great. That's. Sitting alone in an auditorium, Danny Houston, you're the villain.
Did the original Eric Draven have a bunch of shitty Pete Davidson tattoos or just
no, he did not.
He did not.
He was a rock and roller though, a grunge rock and roller.
That's true. Yeah.
And so far, this is not Interstate Love Song or this is not Plush by Stone Pilot, so therefore this soundtrack is lesser than.
That original soundtrack is great.
It's one of the best fucking soundtracks of the 90s, absolutely.
It's love. Oh. So he's just got Batman eye makeup now?
Uh-huh. He's going to get the white makeup in the last few seconds of the movie.
Totally right. You're totally right, dude. Love promises only pay.
You know what? If that's the case, just make it be like the Batman eye makeup and that's it. Yeah. Don't do that. You have no idea what hell awaits you. Oh, that's pretty fucking sweet. That's pretty fucking sweet.
I mean, I've seen the whole movie, though. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's nice. We're done.
Ooh. This soundtrack could be the opposite of the original soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. I almost said Holy Crow. That would have been appropriate, too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'll be at the theater, but, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to change it that much. There's already been other Crow movies, some of which people like. Don't people like Crow City of Angels? Isn't that supposed to be, like, a so-so?
It's fine. I mean,
something
like,
or other. It
has a good soundtrack again, but like, I mean, people are fine with that. The third one's the one where like only diehards are really keeping.
Is that Eddie Furlong?
I think so.
Davey Boreas. Yeah, we got to figure out. We might be doing a Crow movie to coincide.
Maybe.
I think we want to do one that's even worse. Whatever one is even worse is the one to do.
You get Iggy Pop begging for his life in the second one, which is pretty fantastic. Yeah, like that. That's okay. Great.
The third one is Salvation from 2000, starring Eric Mabius.
Yeah.
Oh, him. Okay.
Oh, Eric Mabius. Yeah, he's in something we've talked about over the years.
Is he Ugly Betty guy?
He is Ugly Betty guy. He is Mabius because it's like, maybe, no.
And the fifth is Furlong from 2005.
Wow. Fifth.
Oh,
fifth.
Wow. We'll have to look into this.
I thought there were like three.
I think.
The fifth is this new one. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Still four fucking Crow movies, three of which are direct to DVD sequels. Mm-hmm. Or did that second one?
That second one probably came out.
That was an actual movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Bucyrus has my back here. Eric Mabius is in Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is.
I don't know here. Oh, this is very funny. Sorry, Tara. There's too much Counting Crows.
I like that.
Sequels. I don't know. I'll be at the theater, but it looks like it's a pretty ill-advised remake. But you know what's not ill-advised, folks? Seeing us on the road, because we put on one hell of a show and we're going on tour starting next month. We're going to be in Hotlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Talking Gerard Butler in Gamer. This is... a die in the game, die for real kind of bullshit movie with Michael C. Hall.
And the penal system is involved. It's a very heady film.
Baby. Yeah.
We're going to take out our penals in Atlanta. Thursday, April 25th.
I'm stoked that we're playing a city winery. We have a good time when we play city wineries. We've played them before. And I'll tell you what, guaranteed, the city winery is not going to smell like the place in Atlanta last time, years ago. Because that was dead mozzarella sticks. I don't know how dead mozzarella sticks became a thing, but like they were mozzarella sticks, but deceased. The smell in that place.
Atlanta update, those meet and greet tickets are almost sold out. Okay. So.
Right. You want to do that, folks. We love a good meet and greet. We love taking pictures. We love hearing from folks. Sometimes there's gifts and whatnot or signing things. It's a lot of fun getting to hang out and meet some of you fine folk who came out. Don't slouch on that. And then in May, we got two dates. Going to be real cool. Making our Space City debut. That's right. Houston, Texas. Playing the Houston Improv to talk about what I will say is a very fun sequel. RoboCop 2.
I know that I've seen this movie, but my brain doesn't recognize it.
Oh, my God. This
does not compute, creep.
The first is the best, but this expands the universe with Nuke. I love Nuke. As a kid, I always wanted to get into drugs so I could do Nuke. But then it's not real.
Sad. No, not sad. I'm sorry.
We got to make that drug. Chris, get in the lab.
Okay.
Back to the lab with you, Chris.
Sure, fine.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. We'll be at the Houston Improv for that. And then the very next night, we're going over to Austin, Texas. We're going to be at Cap City Comedy, folks, and we're going to be talking From Dusk Till Dawn. That's right, the Robert Rodriguez Stone Cold Classic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
you're not singing it, Steve? You're not doing it?
Dark Night.
There we go. Thank you.
I was waiting for
it. Both shows. We're going to be driving into Austin from Houston, so why don't you do the same?
Yes.
Maybe you'll see us on the road. Run us off the road.
Follow us. Do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you want.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean?
No, then it turns into
Show me your daddy.
Maybe would it be a four-person crow situation if we all got murdered, or maybe one of us would be the crow to avenge the other three?
It has to be one. One would become the crow.
There's only one named Eric.
So. Yeah, it's not me. If you wanted to get some avenging done, I'd put my money on Eric.
I will avenge all these guys except for Steve because of what he said on our fugitive episode.
I think the person that we might need to be avenged against is this guy. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know.
Podcast just run off the ground.
Wow. Man, that's Slender Daddy right there. Look at that guy.
All right, y'all. Let's get into it on screen. We have watched something release. We're talking Late Night with the Devil from IFC and Shudder. Directed by Colin and Cameron Cairns. hell yeah, this movie.
It's good. It's good, folks.
3 days later, this movie got under my skin. Not in a like, oh, fuck the world, but in a kind of Prince of Darkness kind of way where you're like, it's like apocalyptic and creepy and weird. And like, it just kind of got under my skin in all the good ways that I really enjoyed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It gets into so many facets. I'm not going to try to spoil anything, but like different elements of like horror and cult stuff are involved. I love the premise, obviously, of a late night talk show, and very, very cool production design, very cool costumes, and the Night Owls with Jack Delroy's is what Jack it's called. Yeah.
I want like cool a movie. Night Owls with Jack Delroy like logo t-shirt. Yes. I will totally fucking wear that thing.
I'm sure IFC will have. Yeah. I'm sure IFC will have something like that at some point. I hope so, at least.
Yeah.
I really liked this. I'm trying to remember the last movie this team did, but I liked that one as well.
The Australian Brothers, I believe, is the idea.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm just completely blanking. But the one before this was also very strong. Mm-hmm. And this builds on that. My only issue with it at all is I kind of just want it to be the show.
Yeah, no,
that's my issue with it too.
I kind of want it to be 70 to 80 minutes and just the show. Maybe you start by showing the like clips from the episode of the one where with the wife when you meet her, that part. Maybe you kind of have to see that, but
I don't mind the Ironside beginning. There's a Michael Ironside narrated.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That's fun, but I agree with you when we do like the backstage stuff. It's not bad. It just sort of I think that there's a world in which somehow you just cut that out and made it like a really narrow.
Yeah, it just deflates it in a way. And it's also like those segments that are behind the scenes are black and white. It's sort of you're breaking the kind of reality you were setting up with your own movie. They had to have made it a different film stock or show the crew or something walking around. But I would have preferred just like have those sections during the commercial breaks of the show, maybe darken the set a little. Have him still sitting there, and you could figure out a way. Staff could come up and talk to him at the desk. Yeah. I just feel like I agree with Chris that I wish it was just the late night talk show.
Yes, I kind of because you get the tension of both the filmmakers having to create that kind of illusion, but also in the story, like you are stuck with this guy in this room for a while, and that tension really does drive, I think, the best parts of this movie, and I think. Don't even show the background. What they should have done, they should have made like fake commercials, because what it is talking about is the marriage of like corporate America with satanic elements. So like you have an element there to really, you have a chance there to really have something there that would be fun, like the beginning of old companies that really became huge and parts of America. There's stuff there, and you know, it works for what it is. And David Dashmalian is fucking great.
He is.
He's great. He's so good.
I don't want to complain too much, but
Chris. I don't want to complain too much. I don't want to sound like detracting, because it's one of those things where like the steak is so good, it's just like the mashed potatoes could have used a little more garlic kind of a thing, just because the way that they film, the way that they block film and just experience the late night show is so perfect. And it's like so like it's so 70s where it's like it's clearly like a Joe Franklin riff, because he's not a comedian. He's just sort of like a guy that is, you know what I mean? Like he's competing with Carson, but it's not like because he's trying to be the funny guy. Like there's comedy in the show, but like he's more of just sort of like the host, which we had a lot of in like the 70s and 80s, kind of like going after Carson. And Dashmalian, because we've been following him for a long time. Like this is a real great coming out party for him. I thought like,
it was
star making. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You know, it's funny, like, yeah, I thought the same thing about, you know, the black and white stuff. It's weird because you can hear Michael Ironside kind of tee it up, because he's like, here now is the raw tape from that episode with some special bonus features. And in my head, I was like, all right, so it's going to be found footage until it's not, you know what I mean? So like, it does become kind of formless like that. But then what's kind of funny too, and this isn't like a super spoiler or anything, but like, the movie just explodes. The third act of this movie, the final, whatever, 10 minutes of this movie is just a mind fucking explosion. Chris, it reminded me of that movie that you and I both saw. You liked it a little better than I did, but the Outwaters, is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, it is also like a found footage-y kind of thing. And then like the whole movie decides to just kind of like mutate into this other thing. And like Late Night with the Devil does not go as far as that movie does. Yeah. But I will say one of the things I kind of wanted more of, and like, you know, I don't know, I'd watch something that these, the Cairns brothers here, who also directed 100 Bloody Acres, which I like. They did a movie in 2016 called Scare Campaign, which I didn't see. But 100 Bloody Acres from 2012 is very funny, very gory. It's got Dewey Crow from Justified,
and,
I believe.
And Steve, your friend, Angus, what's his name?
Oh, the big guy, Steve, from Fargo.
Oh yeah. My buddy Angus. Is it Angus McFadden? I don't know if it's what is it. No, not Angus McFadden. Angus Sampson, maybe?
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah. The guy that I met in LA once and didn't do we did karaoke on the same evening. We didn't do it together, but we did karaoke on the same evening.
Just to finish my thought. The thing that I was fascinated by, and Eric, this was a total fucking Bios Man thing. Some of the conspiracy stuff they get into, I don't want to name which specific elements. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's some conspiracy theory stuff that I was like, oh, because that shit has always, seeing photos of that stuff has always like terrified and fascinated me in equal breath.
I will just, to my wife's point, but I'm crediting her. It's a really good folk horror movie. Like it's weird that it's a TV movie. It's a movie about television, but it like not folk horror doesn't have to just be, you know, the Wicker Man over and over and over again.
Exactly.
It's folk horror it's folk because it's like, you know, a lived experience that we all know. And then the horror comes into it. You know what I mean? Like it is, it turns into that sort of, and the sort of like lost tape kind of universe. And like, oh, did you see that one night where it got totally crazy? Like, and like that, there is this sort of like, and I was reading a little bit about the Cairns brothers, or like there was a danger in late night television at the time where like, it just happened. You know what I mean? No one ever expected anything to get recorded. It was just sort of like, you know, we're just getting through one night at a time, and anything really kind of sort of anything could happen. And that's what's really cool about that movie.
Yeah. So even the title of the talk show, the fictional talk show in the movie ties into some of that stuff. So it's very cool.
Oh, yes. Oh, I did not even fucking put that together.
You're totally that's the thing is, I feel like the more you watch it, I feel like the better this is going to get.
Yep. I mean, I really want to see it again. I mean,
good Halloween watch, by the way. Obviously, it's going to be a rotation.
Yes. Great end song as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
great end song. Absolutely. I actually like went and synced up that album after that came on. Yeah, Das Malchin's great. I like the guy, whoever this guy is playing the skeptic character, because this is quite a performance.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I want to get that dude's name because that was really great. And the girl playing like the possessed child will continue to creep me out. The guy playing Carmichael is an actor named Ian Bliss, and Ingrid Torelli plays Lily, possessed girl or whatever. But she was like, did you guys ever go to the Museum of the Moving Image and they have the like original like Exorcist puppet and like it's just got that smile on its dead-eyed face? This girl replicates that IRL in this performance, and I like had to kind of look away from the television at times. She was just freaking me the fuck out. This kind of like, yes, everything's totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here. Like,
yeah,
she really hit it out of the park. The creepitude through the roof. But the thing that I kept wondering about, and you know, we all watched it, but not together, right? Like this must be really fun to watch with people. I was like sitting there with Marty, like, you're not appreciating this. You know what I mean? Like it's also because it's like it as eerie and whatever else it is, it's also very fun. I love all the shit with like the sidekick guy, the just kind of heavy potato looking dude. He's really fucking funny. Oh, his big moment, that's spectacular.
Yeah, it's great.
Just really, really a lot to like. I don't know. These dudes, I hope they do more stuff because this is great. And, you know, David, you know, there's no shortage of performances with this dude. So,
I'm glad we're
just getting more movies where he's not like, you know, sixth banana. Like he's
already. Well, that's the thing is like he, of course, took the chance. Everybody was knows, oh, that's a face. I'm going to get that face.
Yes,
and like, so he goes into Suicide Squad. He goes into Oppenheimer. But like having known him from his early indie days, working with Joel Patricus,
in Michigan. The movie Relaxer, if you ever get a chance, is amazing with him in it. And he's like the second lead of it, essentially. It is incredible. And I'm just glad to see him back in the independent market.
Cool. Someone sarcastically asks if it's better than Exorcist Believer. Almost anything is. Yes, it very much is. The thing also with Das Malchin's performance, he does have, and I don't want him to be relegated to something like this at all, although I don't know, maybe I do, because he does get that classical late night talk show host style down so perfectly. Yeah. His mannerisms, like what he's doing with his hands, how he interacts with the band leader, announcer guy, like it's all so great. It's not someone like pretending to feel that, pretending to do that. He feels like he has been doing night owls for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. It's very lived in.
Yes. Yeah. Give him the Tonight Show.
I'd watch it.
I would finally watch it. Yes.
So yeah, in select theaters Friday, but it's probably for most people going to be a Shudder experience on April the 19th. So just about wrapping up here, but I got to share this with you guys. Stumbled on it last night. And it's like a quarter of a recommend. I want to tell you real quick about one secret movie. So at some point last year, there was a new movie from Philip Noyce called Fast Charlie that came out. Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, among other things. This is Pierce Brosnan as a fixer. I don't know why he makes the argument in the movie that he's not a hitman. He's doing hitman shit in this movie, but it's like he's a dude who goes on a hit with this one guy, and then it's like for reasons the operation goes tits up, and now it's one of those like everybody killed my team and now I have to get revenge kind of things. It's not awful. There is some good like murdering around in it. Like Pierce Brosnan is killing people left and right, which is pretty great.
I like murder in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's but here's where you really have to sort of, I guess, what I'm trying to say, like suspend disbelief, because this movie takes place in like Alabama. Mm-hmm. And Pierce Brosnan.
Oh no.
Well, he's trying to do something.
Don't. No.
He's trying to do something.
No.
And it
just be you. You thought
his voice, that accent was bad. Nomads, whatever he's trying to do in that movie way back.
Yeah. French voice. Yeah.
Holy shit. This voice.
He's like a Cajun guy here.
He's trying to do like a Mississippi Delta. It's Mississippi. Oh. Sorry. It's not Alabama. No. He's trying to do like Mississippi Delta something or other.
That's crazy.
And it's like, you know, not everybody else in the movie's doing it. Like Marina Baccarin, who was in like the remake of V, and she's been on a bunch of TV. She was in
she's a Deadpool
Homeland. Movie, huh? Oh yeah, she's Deadpool's lady friend. Yep. She's like the love interest in this because she's like the ex girlfriend of a guy that he murders, and that guy was abusive. So of course they're gonna fall in love. She's also trying to do something. It doesn't work, but then you've got people like James Caan, which has got to be like one of his final performances, and like Toby Huss is in this movie. They're not doing anything. They're just talking like they talk, you know? So like Pierce, it's just noticeable every fucking, and the guy's talking in like every scene, and that accent, it's a tornado of trouble. It's really something.
God, don't even try.
No, it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't
like,
work.
It could just be like Bob the Englishman, Charlie the Englishman, you know?
Or even just do your regular flat American one, and it's just like, hi, everybody, it's me, I'm American.
That would at least be a little better. Yeah. I will say, though, speaking of James Caan, like, why did he have to be in this movie? Unless, like, he just really wanted to. Like, he's so frail.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
That's hard to watch.
He doesn't, like, get out of a wheelchair the whole time. Ugh. Like, it's really, really sad.
You know, it's like, probably one of those things where it's like, this will cover the funeral, you know?
I mean, honestly, dude, I was having those thoughts because you're watching him in this movie and like, he sounds very weak. Like, he sounds like James Caan. Like, it's his accent and everything. He's not trying to put on a voice, but like, he's just so frail. And you're like, Did he die like on the way home from the rap party? I mean, like,
by the way, people in the chat, we know he's Irish, but he was very famous for playing an English character.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
That's we're aware. But so yeah, not like a recommend by any means. It's just, it's a secret movie that you could do worse. I would say. So not a glowing recommendation, but I just was like, oh yeah, like Patriot Games, you know, Clear and Present Danger. Like, there's a record here.
It sounds like The Foreigner is a better secret Pierce Brosnan movie. The one where he's shoving Jackie Chan down a staircase and shit.
Yes. Yeah. And I think he's evil Irishman in that too. So yes. you can really go
there
on.
There you go.
Yeah.
There. Yes. So yeah, there you go. Little secret movie for everybody. But that's going to wrap up this week, everybody. But we have a whole slew of stuff to tell you about, stuff that has been released and is about to be released. If you're playing catch up from last week, of course, Rebel Moonmentary is out. Watch along or not, either way is fine, because that movie's terrible.
The trailer for the new one is apparently going to be released sometime today. I don't know when today, but the second part, the Rape Threat Infinitum, is going to be released sometime today. I do not know when.
By the way, that reminds me, because I believe that streaming date is 4/19. So if you're looking for stuff to stream on the 19th of April, do Late Night with the Devil.
Yes, please do that. Please do yourself a favor.
Also, last week we did drop the March edition of Melrose 210. Wild shit happening on both of those episodes of television. And then also we did start the free version of something I will tell you about in a second here. But to go in release order, the big week ahead of us, folks. Tomorrow, Listener of the Month continues with a conversation about the Rollerball remake. Good. You know, sometimes some of the dumbest movies make for the best episodes.
Eric, Andrew, all of you, really. Have you ever considered that maybe we should have done all of this in night vision?
I thought we should have,
maybe just reverse it so we're all in green. I mean, it was St. Patty's Day yesterday.
Next week we'll do night vision entirely.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
Definitely do that.
But that's out on the We Hate Movies feed, which you can get that commercial free, of course, on our Patreon at the $8 level and up. But we got a packed week of shows here. Check this out. So that's just Tuesday. Wednesday, we're talking Savage Opress on the Cleveland Glossary, Darth Maul's loser brother.
Yes, it is a fun. It's a fun one, folks. I had to write the entry myself, so I still can't pronounce it, but I had to write it.
Very excited to tease this, Eric. A little bit of a soundboard return. Just a little.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
You have to see what it is.
A little bit.
It's something I was thinking about earlier this morning and chuckling to myself about it. I think it's very funny. So that's going on. And then, holy moly, Thursday, Animation Damnation. We're talking Brave Star. And you will hear us really try to remember whether or not we did an episode on that cartoon before. Spoiler alert, we had not.
But it is a fun conversation. I actually just edited it this morning.
But then Friday, folks, we are super excited because getting underway in earnest, the first series of Too Old for This Shit drops on the Patreon only at the top tier level. This is us talking all about the first season of X-Men 97, and Friday's episode will have us talking about the first two episodes, which are dropping this Thursday. Very exciting stuff.
I'm really excited. I'm excited to just watch it, honestly, and then be able to talk to you folks about it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We had a lot of fun, by the way, on last week's Too Old for This Shit, that preview episode. We talked about Night of the Sentinels, the pilot episode of the X-Men 92 series. That's also on the free feed right now. So if you're like, oh, what's Too Old for This Shit going to be about? Have a gander at that and then tune in this Friday for an all new episode. Now, to take us out, we're going to tease something. Listener Request Month in just a couple more episodes is going to be over with. So we had to come up with something for April, you guys. So I'm going to tease it right now, just really quickly, with the cover art for the theme of, next month's theme month, the April programming for We Hate Movies. Let me get that art up here.
Still got this set. I love it. You got it set to daddy still.
Philippe, you have outdone yourself. Philippe.
Undaddy it.
So we will say this next week on Screen Live, we're going to tell you exactly what's going on with the month of April. But here is a teaser of Philippe's artwork.
Who can figure it out?
Amazing piece.
Can you figure it out in time for next week's episode or whenever we're 2 weeks? We'll see.
We're going to tell people next week.
Okay. Next week, you got a week to try to figure out what this is going to be.
I'm seeing it in the chat already. Yes, you are correct. We are doing movies based on Bernard Shaw plays. That's true. Yes, Shawland is what it said there. Yes, you're correct.
Shawland. Let me see. Yeah. Oh, who's making some bad guesses? Yeah, no, you're not going to guess it, folks. Don't worry about that. But we're very excited to tell you about that next week, where we're also going to be talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in some fashion or other. So, goddamn. Good goddamn. But anyway, folks, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to this channel. Until next time on Screen Live, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Tata.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Cabin.
Adios. Bye-bye.